I love you guys. Thanks for being here this morning. We've got this continued study in Psalm 32, 33, and today we'll be in the first 12 verses of Psalm 33. So go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. And we'll be looking today and thinking about that we, as those who know God, stand in awe of Him. We stand in awe of God. By God's grace, He makes His people righteous. He calls people to know Him and to trust Him. And those who do will praise Him. They will shout for joy to the Lord. They will give thanks to Him. They will sing a new song to Him. They will offer their best to Him. Why? They see God for who He is. They know God. They know that His word is upright. They know that His work is faithful. And those who are godly will pray that all the earth will fear the Lord. Those who are godly can and must call everyone to stand in awe of the Lord. For He spoke, the Lord spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Indeed, God is awesome, and we worship an awesome God. There's two parts to this that I noticed this week, and the first is that verses 1 through 3 are a call to worship, a call to worship God. So the psalmist is inviting people, he's urging people, he's pleading the godly to join in the chorus of praise to God. This is a call to worship. It's not a suggestion. It's not a sidebar. This is a firm focus to the heart of who we are as people. In God, we praise Him. We must praise Him. So there's a call to worship. And then the next part of this psalm to the very end, but today we'll only look at through verse 12, is a cause for worship. A cause for worship. So the first part is a call to worship, and then verses 4 and following are the reasons why, or a cause for worship. If you're ready, we'll go ahead and jump in. I'll read verses 1 through 12 this morning. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. As we look at these two verses here, verses 4 and 5, it's a summary of all that the psalmist will talk about throughout the rest of this section. And these words here in verses 4 and 5 give us four main reasons why we can praise and must praise our awesome God. And you'll notice verse 4, it says the word of the Lord is upright. So that's reason one. All His work is done in faithfulness. That's reason number two. Verse 5, He loves righteousness and justice. That's reason number three. And then at the end of verse 5, it says the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. That's reason number four for our praise to God. Today we'll only be looking at the first two reasons in verse 4, the word of the Lord and the work of the Lord, primarily focusing on the word of the Lord. Let's continue, verse 6. And thinking about this word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Think about that. By the word, God spoke, and it was. By the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. This is our memory verse for the year, verse 8 of Psalm 33. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. This is a call for you and you and you and me and everyone we know. This is a call. This is a plea. This is a prayer. Let's tell everyone, stand in awe of God. Be reverent before Him. Tremble before Him. There's been a lot of fear. Some of it, I think, misplaced fear. Some maybe rightly placed fear. But this year, we know in 2020, was marked by fear. Fear of what we couldn't see. Fear of the unknown. Fear that raged into our hearts and our homes. And the fear that we really need to cultivate and to keep reminding ourselves of is this holy fear of God. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. This awe is trembling fear before a holy, righteous God. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. Now who's the subject of this passage? If we go back and do a little study, we see the number of times that a word continues to repeat. And that is the word Lord, or Yahweh. Verse 1, shout for joy in the Lord. We see in verse 4, for the word of the Lord. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Verse 10, the Lord brings. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God is the subject of this Bible. He's the one that shows us who He is. He shows us His greatness, and He shows us the need that we have for a holy God and the provision that He makes out of His love. Next week, we'll be looking at and focusing in on the love of God, the steadfast love. But today, I want us to really think about the Word of the Lord. Before we even get to that, let's think about this call to worship. We are called to live our lives to please the Lord through the way we interact with Him. This psalmist is calling the godly to praise the Lord. Those who know the Lord will praise Him. In fact, the psalmist says that praise is a proper. That's the word that we see in the next part. Praise befits. Praise is a proper, beautiful response. It's what we wear. It's what is adorning to the people of God. And the people of God wear that praise well, or at least we should. We should embody that praise. We should carry that praise. We should exude that praise, and it befits those who are upright. What wardrobe are we wearing today? Is it one of bitterness and regret and begrudging service to God, or is it one of true shouting for joy? And going back to even that word shout, this is not simply a woo. This is a loud cry. This is a shrill letting it all out. This is like you're at the most intense concert or football game or whatever sporting event or other venue you can think of, and you are just almost beside yourself. You're going crazy. And that's what he's calling the people of God to show forth, is this intense praise of God. We get intense about a lot of things, don't we? Boy, just mention certain subjects and watch people get riled up. I don't even have to explain what I'm talking about. You can fill in the blanks. You know what gets you riled up. What gets you worked up. But he is saying this is a call, and he's calling people to get in this moment of grand praise to God and to let it out for the glory of God. How do we do that? What does that look like? Well, notice in verse 2, the first thing is to give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks can also mean to express praise, or it can mean to confess or to acknowledge. It really comes from the root that means to throw or to cast. So I'm casting my thanks. I'm throwing my thanks to God. As Alan P. Ross observes, the word may be better understood as acknowledge, since it can be used for confessing faith or confessing sin. A confession of faith is an acknowledgement in praise of God and His attributes and His works, end quote. The psalmist is urging the godly to give thanks to the Lord, and to do so with musical instruments. This is the first time that musical instruments are mentioned in the Psalms, in this Psalm 33. And we're told to give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. It's a make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing a new song. Play skillfully. So the psalmist is calling us to praise God with a new song in a fresh way. That's part of why I was going the gamut this morning of some of the older, more contemporary hymns. I know that sounds strange. Older contemporary, and then some the even more recent ones, and then interspersing that with hymns, because we praise an awesome God and we experience God in a fresh way. And that's what this is getting at, to praise God in a fresh manner, in an excellent manner, with great fervor. Again, Ross says, it's a call to praise with renewed enthusiasm resulting from a new experience of deliverance or a new appreciation of the Lord's presence. I wonder, how many of us have experienced God in a fresh way of late? A new way, a way that causes us to say, wow, God, You are awesome. I never thought about that before. I never noticed that before. Thank You for showing that to me in Your Word. Thank You for showing that to me in Your creation, for reminding me of Your power, of Your wonder, of Your presence. God, thank You that You've shown me just Your magnificence in this fresh way. God, You are amazing. How many of us have tuned our hearts of late to hear the Word of God in that fresh way? Not that God's Word changes, but that our hearts are changing to interact with and to receive that Word that's so powerful and that can change us. Church, do we hear this call? This is a call to worship, and not only on Sundays, but every part of the day, to worship God and to be eager about it, to give our best to Him, to spend time with Him, to join our hearts and our voices with the godly chorus of praise, to shout for joy in the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord. So let's do that right now. Let's take a moment and tell God, thank you. Just tell Him, thank You, God, for... This is a call for us to worship and an opportunity for us to do that. Maybe as you're talking with God, you're thanking Him for a beautiful friendship with your spouse. You're thanking God for your marriage. You're thanking God for the forgiveness that He pours out upon us. You're thanking Him for His love. there's truly 10,000 reasons and more for us to praise God, and this call to worship sets us in that step, that direction to worship and to remember that God is worthy of our worship. There are so many reasons that we can worship, causes for worship. As I mentioned, there's four reasons that we see here in verses 4 and 5. The word of the Lord is upright. His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love. Those are four quick but amazing reasons why we can and must praise God. And I want us to think primarily this morning on the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. I realize more and more that my words are important and they carry weight, but they're not nearly as important as I think they might be. And my words are not going to last forever. My words are not always true. My words are not always that powerful, but God's word is incredibly true. It's perfectly true. His word is powerfully, wonderfully, creatively at work to transform me, a sinner, and you, and those that he calls and to create. And we see this. It's just reminiscent of Genesis when we see here in verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I cannot begin to tell you how amazing that is. And really to think about it, even for a few moments, should cause us to be, as he says here in just a moment, let all the earth fear the Lord. Because this is a God who can create. This is a God who has power. And even his word creates. By his word, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. This word that's upright, it's straight, it's level. That means that there's nothing crooked about his word. The word of the Lord is ever true. As James Johnston states, God's word cannot be separated from God himself. His spirit is as close to his word as breath is to speech. This means that God's word is upright because God himself is upright. And his word is a mighty word. He spoke. It says he spoke. Literally, it means he said. It's very much reminiscent of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said. So this creative word, by his creative word, God is making, and by God's word, he's rescuing. This word that we see here in verse 7, he gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. It's very much in line with the song of Moses that we read in Exodus chapter 15, where the people are brought through the Red Sea, and it says that the waters are gathered as a heap. So God held back those waters for people to walk through on dry land. So by God's word, he creates, and by his word, he saves or rescues or delivers. We'll see more about that as we read on into the psalm next week. These words of deliverance, of God's rescue, of his love for his people. But God's word is mighty. Earlier in the week, when I was beginning to wrestle through these verses and to think about it and to talk with Debbie about it, she said, you know, that reminds me of when you talked about the power of God's word. It reminds me of the moment in the Gospels where the centurion comes to Jesus and says, my servant is sick. And Jesus, if you'll only say the word, my servant will be healed. So I was looking at that yesterday afternoon and early evening, and it took me to the book of Matthew. Let's go there for a little bit and see the word of our Lord Jesus. If you go through really any place in the Gospels, you're going to see things like this all over the place. The word of the Lord. Many of us like that the words of Jesus are in red because we can see his words jump out off of the page a little bit easier. But you begin in chapter 8 of Matthew, and there's this leper that comes to Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. By the word and the work of Jesus, this man is healed. Praise God. And then we see this centurion, the story that I was mentioning that got me into this section of God's word in Matthew chapter 8. The centurion, he comes to Jesus as Jesus is coming into Capernaum. And he says, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." There's more that goes on with this conversation. You can read and follow along here. But the basic thing is that Jesus says, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment by the word of Jesus. And the faith coupled with that word of this man who believed Jesus' word. Jesus goes and heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then we read that that evening they brought to Jesus many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. The word of God, the word of the Lord is mighty. Jesus saw this great crowd, and they're saying, "Well, I want to follow you, I want to follow you." And Jesus says these words to one of those people who said that they would follow. "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Jesus is calling for a great commitment by his word. Jesus, we read on, calms a storm by his word. And the men say, "What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?" Do you know this Jesus? Have you trusted in this Jesus? And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there's two demon-possessed men. They come out of the tombs. They're so fierce that no one would pass that way. They cried out, "Son of God, what have you come to torment us before our time, before the time?" And they urge and beg Jesus to have the demons go in, send into these herd of pigs. And Jesus says, "Go." At one word, they went out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down that steep bank into the sea. They were drowned in the waters by the word. On into chapter 9, we read these powerful reminders of the word of Jesus, the word of the Lord. He gets into this boat, he crosses over, and the people are bringing him this man who's paralyzed, and he's lying on this bed. And Jesus saw the faith of these people bringing this man to him, and he said to the paralytic, "Take heart." We need that today. Some of us need that word, that reminder from Jesus. Take heart. Take courage. "My son, your sins are forgiven." "Behold," some of the scribes said to themselves, "this man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home at the word of the Lord. Is the word of the Lord changing you? Is the word of the Lord something that you keep coming back to? Is the word of the Lord something that you delight in? Is God's word something that you study and pray and hold to and look as precious and want to study and obey? Is this word changing you, because it's the powerful word of God that we need in our lives. It's the word that we need to speak to other people. That's why I'm so diligent to try to have us hide that word in our hearts. The word of God. This word, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. And then another call to worship. It's a call for everyone to worship God. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Church, is it any wonder that this psalmist is speaking with such urgency? In light of God's true and mighty word, he's imploring, let all the earth fear the Lord. This isn't merely hyperbole. This is him saying, yes, let everybody that lives fear the Lord. Let everyone who stands upon this earth stand in awe of God. He's broadening this call for everyone to know and to praise God. And may we join with this psalmist in pleading with those around us to trust the Lord. You know, I can go from moments where I feel so bold for the Lord, like this week when someone came and knocking on our door, wanting to have us switch our cable service. You ever have some of those folks come by your house? Well, I took the opportunity to say, you know, I'm not interested, but can I do something? Can we pray together? And so I prayed over those folks that were at our door. God gives me boldness like that sometimes. Other moments, I feel so timid. Sometimes people will say things that give me an open door to share the gospel, and I don't take it. And I kick myself later and say, why didn't I speak up more directly, more boldly? Just holding the word of God. I know this. I believe this. Why am I so timid? God, help me speak your word. Help me call others to know you. God, I want to be this person that stands in awe of you. So church, let's pray these words. Let's study these words. Let's hide these words in our heart. This week, let's be people who stand in awe of God, his word and his work. And let's pray, God, help me see where you're at work. Help me see what you're up to. Help me join you in what you're doing. Help me be alert to your Spirit's leadership. Lord God, help me be in tune with what you're doing, and help me to revere you. Help me to speak your word. Help me to hide your word. Help me to be amazed at you. God, I pray that this church will be a church that stands for your glory. We are on a very important moment within the life of this church. And I pray that we would cry out to you with all of our hearts for you to break through, to bring new life, to bring new people, to protect this church body, to embolden us to speak up for you, to take that good news, your word, to people around us, that we would even invite our friends, our neighbors, our family to be with us here in this place and to be a part of serving you in this community. God, we need your word to break through our hearts and to change us for your glory. God, I thank you for this time to study, to look at your word together. God, you are so magnificent. I'm thankful that you work in so many amazing ways and that you are faithful. Your work you do is faithful. Thank you that you are constant. You never waver in who you are. God, we adore you. We praise you. We join with the psalmist in giving shouts of praise, joyful praise, thankful praise. skillful, enthusiastic praise to you. We want to give our best to you for your glory. And we do that because you've called us into that relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray.